A very good morning. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A very good morning to Namibia. Very good morning wherever you are tuning in from and wherever you are listening us from. Thanks for joining us this morning. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend and a restful one, and ready actually to, you know, to take on the last week of the month. This is the last week of, the last week of the month. The month ends on, I think it's on Friday. All right. So good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station, in the land of the brave. And thank you, Tate France, for handing over the mic, this side of the world. So we're coming to you live. We're coming to you live from Dangwa Studio. So my name is Mike Oshavili, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and political headlines. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty sometimes, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take of what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying as spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversations. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and welcome, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for choosing this time. Thanks for choosing Eagle FM, and thanks for joining us this very morning. All right. As usual, our time now, it's about 9 minutes past the hour of 8, and I will be with you until the time, until 11 o'clock. So, as usual, we do start with, we go back into history. We look at what happened on this day in Africa, So, good morning, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful continent, and you are tuning to on this day in Africa. So grab your coffee or your tea, and let's take a stroll through the continent's history together. All right. So first stop, 1929. On this day, way back in 1929, South Africa put its name on the Geneva Convention. That Geneva Convention was covering prisoners of war. Now, 53 countries signed on the dotted line that day, and the Union of South Africa, then under white minority rule, was one of them. So the deal was simple. If you capture an enemy soldier, you treat them like a human, you treat them like a human being. No torture, no starvation, no using them for, target practice sometimes. Sometimes, when you are captured, you're not going to be used as a target practice. So the convention, that was the deal. No using them for target practices. So it was one of those moments when, where the world tries to say, look, okay, war is terrible, but let's at least agree on some ground rules. Okay. So yeah, that was 1929. Now let's rewind to 1985, and in Uganda, this was messy. Okay. It was messy. On this day back then, General Tito Okello rolled tanks into town. There's a general, he said, okay, let's roll some tanks into town, and booted President Milton Obote out of power. And get this, It wasn't even the first time, actually, a boat had been shoved out. It wasn't the first time. The man had already been overthrown once before and somehow found his way back, and only for history actually to repeat itself, you know? Only for history actually to repeat itself. So coup number two, that was actually coup number two for him. So Uganda's political history has never been boring, I can tell you that. And this day in 85 was a proof of that. All right. So, and in 1978, Namibia, or Southwest Africa, as it was called then, the United Nations Security Council gave the thumbs up to a Western-backed plan to finally end the guerrilla fighting and get Southwest Africa on the road to independence. Now, that road led to Namibia. It was one of those behind-the-scene diplomatic moves that didn't make instant headline everywhere, but it laid the groundwork for a whole new nation being born. Now, without moment like this, I would say the map of Africa looks very different today. So, and finally, in 2024, this just happened a year ago or 2 years ago in Mali. Now, this one was grim. Near Tin Zuatene, Tuareg rebels and fighter linked to Al-Qaeda set up an ambush. They set up an ambush on a convoy carrying Malian troops and Russian Wagner mercenaries, you know, in Mali. Now, it turned into one of the bloodiest single day for Russian private forces anywhere on the continent. So, a harsh reminder, that Sahel, the Sahel region, is still one of the most dangerous patches on earth. So, the fight over who control that ground is far from over. So, and that's your history roundup for this 27th of July. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that's right. This is Eagle FM, and a very good morning. Good morning, Namibia. So, Monday, July the 27th. What is our thought for the day this morning? So, today's wisdom comes from a powerful African proverb. A large chair does not make a king. A large chair does not make a king. Well, think about that for a moment. Okay? A big office, a fancy title, a powerful position, or a seat of authority does not automatically make someone a great leader. Now, the chair may give you a position, but it is your action that earns you respect. We see this everywhere, okay? In politics, in business, in communities, even in families. So someone can have the title of managers, a director, a leader, or even a president. But if they don't listen, if they do not serve, if they do not care about the people they lead, then the chair is just a piece of furniture. So a true king is not measured by the size of the throne, but by the size of the heart, by the size of his heart. A true leader is not someone who demands respect. A true leader is someone who inspires respect. So today, let us ask ourselves, are we chasing positions or are we building characters? Are we looking for power or are we becoming people worth of responsibility? Because at the end of the day, the chair does not make the person. The person gives meaning to the chair. That's today's thought for the day. Good morning and welcome. Thanks for joining us. You're just on time. 17 minutes past the hour of 8. We're right at the beginning of the show. So, and welcome, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So, yep. So, thanks for staying connected with Eagle FM. And so, if you want to stay connected, make sure that wherever you are, anytime, anywhere, you can listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM, through our website. Don't feel despair. Maybe you are driving your way to the office, and then you think, okay, now I need to stay in the car so that I can. No, you can go into your office and be able to tune in. Go to our website. You can listen to us live on our website, but you can also download Eagle FM mobile app that you can download from Google Play or Play Store. And you'll be able to listen wherever you are. Where you will be able to stay connected to Eagle FM anytime, anywhere. And you can also be able to listen to the podcast of previous broadcast. So, and there are so many, many, many other features that you can be able to follow. All right. So welcome. So what do we have? What are we looking at this morning? There is a survey, and a very interesting survey, and it released by the National NSA, last week, the 2025 Namibia Financial Inclusion Survey. So, and it reveals that more than half of the country's adults, specifically 54.1%, and 2,000 or less per month. So the survey has got a lot of aspects that we're going to look into. So we're going to spend enough time looking at some of those aspects. Very interesting. So we're going to look into this. So, and just think about that. Think about that before we get into that. 54.1% and 2,000 or less per month. We're talking about countries' adults. So that's very serious. All right. So we're going to look into that. We're going to unpack that. And if we still have time, well, because Namibia's economy is growing slower than its populations, the nation is actually facing mounting pressure in terms of regarding job creation, household incomes, and long-term economic prosperity for the country. So that is also something that actually coming from this Bank of Namibia. It's a report from the Bank of Namibia. We're going to look into that as well. And if we still have time, which we will have actually, I think, we go up to 11 o'clock. We will have enough time, plenty of time. So there's something last week, the Mines and Energy Minister, Modeste Amse, had delivered a firm message, to the foreign oil companies. stating that the government will not dilute or will not bend, you know, national petroleum laws or grant special concession to accommodate investors' demand. So we're going to look into that and see what the Minister of Mines and Energy is talking about. So, all right. So make sure that you stay tuned. And of course, your participation will also be part of the show. You are most welcome to unpack, you know, this with me. So as you can see, there's so much that we're going to talk about this morning. So stay tuned. Let's pack this together. Let's unpack this together. Our time is 22 minutes past the hour of 8. We're going to be back after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, good morning, Namibia. And good morning, my dear listeners, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, the show where we take the headlines. Here we take the headlines and give you the real story behind the numbers that shape your life. All right. This morning, we are going deep on a report from the Namibia Statistics Agency. And let me tell you right now, this one hit every household, every street, every township, every village, you know. And this is not some distant policy document sitting in some boardroom. I think this report is about you. It's about you. It's about your neighbor. It's about your mother. It's about your father. It's about your cousin. It's about how more than half of this country is living. Half of the people of this country is living. And it's not a pretty picture. So the 2025 Namibian Financial Inclusion Survey released last week, the headline number is actually staggering. It's massive. More than half of Namibian adult population, exact 54.1%, earn 2,000 or less per month. I want you to take your time and really, really think about this. All right? More than half. That is not a minority struggling at the margin or something like that. That's the majority of the country. Over one million adults in this nation are trying to survive. They are trying to survive, feed the family, pay rent, send kids to schools, you know, handle emergency now on $2,000 or less. And if you are sitting in a comfortable office right now, that number might just be data. For you, that number might just be data. But if you are one of those 54%, that number is your daily reality, your monthly stress, your sleepless night. Now, let's look at some of the aspects, some of the things that are coming out of the survey. Now, so one is the 2,000 reality, okay? The 2,000 Namibian dollar reality. So we're going to look at, let's break down what is this survey is really telling us. Okay. It's very important. I found it very important. Now, Namibia has about, let's give a context to this. Okay. Namibia has about 1.82 million people age 15 and older. 1.82 million, 15 and older. Now, these are the people who are old enough to work. Okay? They are the people who should be growing the economy, starting business, paying taxes, helping the country move forward. 1.82 million. Now, but what does it say about our economy when more than half of working Namibian earn less than 2,000 a month? What does it say? I don't know what you think about this, seriously. So we're talking about, you know, half of working Namibian earn less 2,000 a month. It tells us that something is serious wrong. It tells us that something is actually serious wrong. You cannot build a strong house. Think about in terms of house. You cannot build a strong house on a weak foundation. In the same way, you cannot actually build a strong economy when so many people cannot afford the basic of life. Just the basic. Well, some people may say, that's only the people at the bottom. You know, if you have to think this, surely most people earn much more. But the survey paints a different picture. The survey actually painted a different picture. Income in this country is not shared evenly. And we know that. Income is not shared evenly. There's a small group of people who earn very good salaries, while much larger group struggle to make ends meet. Now, the gap between the rich and the poor is still very, very, very wide. And this is, of course, this is not a new problem. This is not a new problem in Namibia. Namibia has been talking about inequality since independence. We have been talking about inequality since independence. We had policy after policy, strategy after strategy, report after report. Yet the gap remains. The numbers may change, but the story stays the same.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. Our time is 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just tuning in, this is Eagle FM. And you tune into Unpacking the Day. So, and we're talking about the survey. A survey that's looking at financial inclusion, you know, and as I said earlier on, the income in this country, the survey actually showing something that we know already, okay? As I said, this is not a new problem when it comes to inequality. So Namibia, we have been talking about inequality since independence. And we made policy. We have policy, we had policy after policy, we have strategy after strategy, many reports that we produced, but the gap remains. The gaps remain. The number in terms of reporting may change, but it's the same story. It's the same story. Now, here's the question now, and I want you really to think seriously about that. Sometimes we look at these stories, and these surveys are being produced So like this is being produced, but how many people are actually reading it? And here's the difficult question. If after 35 years of independence, so many Namibians are still earning so little. So many Namibians are still earning so little, despite all the plans, all the promises. Now, the question is, what have we really achieved? And I'm asking this, you know, I'm not asking what the political party, what is SWAPO, whatever the ruling party have achieved. I'm asking, what have we really achieved? As a nation, what have we achieved? If so many Namibians are still earning so little, we're talking about 54.1% of adult population. Now, who has been left behind? We have a story in Harambe. No one should be left behind. We have left someone behind. And why? You know, and when you're looking at this, this is not simply about, you know, people failing to work hard enough. It's not like, the people are not working hard enough. When such a large number share, you know, when such a large share of the population is struggling, I think the problem is bigger than individuals. It points to a deeper issues in the economy. It raises question about the kind of job we create. So the industry we invest in, and whether economy grows in reaching ordinary people. Does it grow to reach the ordinary people? And it's time, seriously, it's time to stop treating this as a short-term problem. This is not a short-term problem. I think it's time that we don't treat this as a short-term problem. We need to admit that this is a long-term weakness in the way our economy works, seriously. And until we fix that, many hard-working Namibians will continue to be left behind. So we're talking about that gap, inequality gap. So many Namibians will continue to be left behind. Now, let's look at another part of this survey, because it tells us something just as important. So the survey found that 20.9% of Namibian adults, more than one in every five people, more than one in every five people depend on government grant as their main source of income. More than one in every five people depend on government grant as their main source of income. So that includes old age pensions, disability grants, child grants, and other form of government support. Think about that for a moment, seriously. So this is not an extra. So when we're talking about now, you know, all this, you know, old age, pension, disability grants, or other form of government support, this is not extra money to help them get by. You understand? This is the money they rely on to survive. It pays food. It helps cover electricity, rent, transport, and other daily needs. For many families, it is the difference between eating or going hungry. Now, let be clear. Let us be clear. Social grants play an important role. They do. They play a very important role. They help all the people living with disabilities and families facing difficult times. without this grant, many people would actually be much worse off, you know. But when one in every five adults depend on a government grant as their main income, it tells us something bigger. When one in every five adults, one in five adults, five adults depend on a government grant as their main income, it tells us something really, something bigger. It tells us that the economy is not creating enough jobs or enough opportunity for people to earn a living on their own. Well, the grant help people survive, but they do not help. Eh? They do not help most people escape poverty. Eh? It helps. It helps you to survive, but it doesn't help you to escape poverty. Well, take the old age pension, for example. Okay, it may help an elderly person buy food and basic necessity, but it is not enough to provide financial security or a better quality of life, for that matter. Now, ask yourself this. What happened? So, we're talking about that one in five adults, depending on government grants, as a main income, as their main income. Now, I want you to think bigger. I want you to think, what happened? Now, think of this. I'm thinking now, what happened if government finance come under pressure, as it does happen often, by many, 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 many other things? What happened if public debt keep growing, as it is happening? Eh? What happened when government collect less taxes? You remember our tax base. Eh? Our tax base is very, very, very thin. It's very, very small. Eh? What happened government when they collect less tax, or the global economy itself slow down, as it happens? Eh? So these grants are paid from the national budget. If the government has less money to spend, the people who depend on this grant are the most vulnerable. And as we see, the economy is not growing. As we see, these people, they often have no saving. They have no saving. They have no other income and nowhere else to turn. Just think about that. Yeah? And that's why this is about more than poverty. It's honestly more than poverty. It's about risk. When so many people depend on government support to survive, the country become more vulnerable to the economic shocks. It becomes vulnerable. A healthy economy should create jobs and incomes that allow people to support themselves. So the social grant remain a safety net for those who truly need them. So this should be the main source of income for such a large share of the population. It shouldn't. So a healthy economy should create jobs. Eh? It should create incomes that allow people to support themselves. And that's not the case. Eh? And that's not the case. This is what the survey says. It's not me saying that. That's what the survey says. Now, let's look at another important finding from this survey, because it affects everyday life. Okay? And please go to the survey. Okay? Get a copy of it. Get a copy of it if you really want to understand, you know, where we are. So now, the survey found that 48.9% of income earners, 48.9% percent of income earned in Namibia are paid in cash. Okay, are paid in cash. You're probably asking, wow, what's the problem that? That means almost one out of every two workers, almost one out of every two workers receive physical cash instead of having their money paid into a bank account. Physical cash. Almost one out of every two workers. And only about 43.5% receive their income through a bank account. So more people actually receive their money physical cash instead of having their money actually paid into their bank account, into bank account. Now, at first, this may look or may sound like, okay. No, let me say, when you look at it, it may not sound like a big issue, isn't it? But it has serious consequences. Okay, you're looking at that, okay, so what's the issue? It may sound like it's not a big issue, but I think it has a serious consequence when you think about it. When you are paid in cash, okay, you usually spend in cash, isn't it? So if there any money left, many people keep it at home instead of in a bank. Now the problem is that cash is not always safe. Okay, we can say not many people really lose their money, even if they keep it at home. But there are people who actually reported their money being stolen. So it can be stolen, it can be lost. If your money disappears, there's usually no way to recover it if you normally keep it at home. So, but there is another problem, and this is the bigger one, and this is the most interesting one. Now, when your income never goes through a bank account, you leave very little financial record behind. You don't have actually financial record at all. You know, you don't have a credit history. So that make it harder for bank to see that you earn regular income. You understand? When you receive it by cash. So the bank doesn't see that you earn a regular income. As a result, it can be more difficult to qualify for a loan to start a business, for example. So if you want to start a business, it becomes difficult for you because there's no credit record. So maybe you want to improve your home. You don't have that. You don't have that history. Or maybe you have emergency. Yeah? Or something that you want money immediate. You don't have that record. Yeah? So, in other words, many people are working and earning an income, but they are still left out of the formal financial system. You understand that? So many people are left out. We're talking about 48. More people actually are left out of the formal financial system. This is a good survey, really. It tells us, you know, that's why I love numbers. Eh? That's why I love numbers. So that means it leaves them with fewer opportunity to build saving. You cannot be able to build saving, investment in the future without banking account when you receive your physical cash. So it leaves them with fewer opportunities, you know, to prepare for unexpected expenses like illness or funeral or loss of job or something like that. Eh? So the survey also shows that digital banking is growing. Okay? So with more people opening a bank account and using services like mobile wallet and cell phone banking. But using this service is still a challenge for many people. They say, well, it's growing, digital banking is growing, but the problem is actually using those services. So only 24.4 of respondents said they are comfortable using wallets accounts, and while about 22.8% say they are comfortable with internet banking. Okay? So then that tells us many people have access to banking services but are still not confident in using them. Because that's a very small number that's really comfortable using wallet accounts and internet banking. Quite minimal, really few percentage. So what that tells us, that it tells us that many people are having access, they have access to banking services, but are still not confident using them. Having a bank account is only the first step. The real goal is for people to use that account regularly, to save money, pay bills, build financial history. That's the most important thing. Build a financial history and access services that can improve their lives. But the majority don't. So a bank account is a rare, it's rarely used, does very little to improve a person's financial security. If you don't use it, then it doesn't improve your personal financial security. So that's why I say having an account is only the first step. But if you don't use it, then it doesn't improve your financial security. So the bigger picture is this. Financial inclusion is not just about opening more bank accounts. It's about giving people the confidence, the knowledge, and the opportunity to use financial services in a way that help them build a more secure future, I think. So it's not just having an account. So these are some of the really aspect that we, some of the finding in the survey, and make a time to go through it. So now, the other thing is that there's also another aspect that's very, very, now let's look at one of the most worrying finding in this survey. This is a worrying one. So the survey shows that only about 1 in 4 adults can make their income last until the next payday or grant payment. And the majority of us are actually falling in this, in these categories or whatever, So 1 in 4 adults can make their income last until their next payment or maybe until their grant payment. So that means 3 out of every 4 Namibians run out of money before they get paid again. Am I talking about you? You're probably talking about me, So 3 out of every 4 Namibians run out of money before they get paid again. So what do you think about that? So that means most people are caught in the same cycle every month. We have many people actually caught in the same cycle every month. They get paid, they paid their bills, buy food and other essentials. And before the month is over, the money is gone. Before the month is over, the money is gone. I'm talking about you. This is you. Well, this is me. All right? Okay? And this is not, okay, this is not simply because people don't know how to budget. All right? This is not that people don't know how to budget. For families, there just isn't enough money coming in. For many families, there's just not enough money that's coming in. That's what the survey says. That's why we're focusing that about large number of people are earning 2,000, less than 2,000, you know. So when your income is less than what it costs to cover food, you know, transport, rent, electricity, before it even comes in, you know, no amount of careful budgeting can close that gap. Yeah? So your income is less than what it costs, you know, to cover your necessities or your basic school expenses, other basic needs. Eh? And as I said, no amount of careful budgeting can close that gap. The number doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And that's what poverty really looks like. So when we're talking about poverty, that's what poverty looks like. It's not only about earning a low income. It's about having no financial breathing room. You don't have a breathing room. Okay? No savings, no emergency fund, no backup plan, you know. When that happens, even a small unexpected expense can become a major problem. Yeah? So even just a small unexpected expenses, it can become a major problem in this case. A tax fare goes up, a child needs a new school uniform, or someone in the family gets sick, the price of basic food increases. For many households, any of this can throw entire monthly budget into crisis. Any of that. Just a little bit, just a basic food increase or family gets sick, one person, it actually throw the entire monthly budget into crisis. And that is the reality of most Namibians. That's what the survey said. That's the reality of most Namibians. So the survey also found that more than half of adults say they struggle to make ends meet. And when they run out of the money, most tend to the families and friends for help because they have nowhere else to go. Because they receive money cash, they can't go to the bank. Okay? So they have nowhere else to go. They go either to a family member or to a friend. And they say they struggle to make ends meet. And this is not a problem affecting only a small group of people. It is the daily reality of the majority of working adults in Namibia. It's a daily reality. And that should concern all of us. Seriously, that should concern you as well. And if you're a lawmaker, if you're a leader in your community, that should concern you. An economy cannot be called healthy when most people spend every month worrying about whether they will have enough money to make it to the next payday. You can't call that economy healthy. Eh? And that is not just about, that's not just a household problem. It is an economic warning sign that many families are living on the edge. It is. It's a sign that people are living on the edge. So what do you think? So there are several aspects as well on the survey that we can look at. But what do you think so far? Okay. So you're most welcome. You know, you're most welcome now to come through as well. Come through and have your say on some of the aspects that we have covered so far. So what do you think? 0833-66091, 0833-66091. That's the number you can call. So to engage me on this, on the aspect we looked at so far. So 0833-66091. 0833-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi fareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hitatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back and a very good morning to you and very good morning to you if you're just joining us. So now let's look at one of the most heartbreaking findings in this survey. The survey shows that borrowing has become more common in Namibia. I think the last survey was in 2017, and about 42% of adults borrowed money. By 2025, that figure had grown to 49%. In other words, nearly one in every two adults is borrowing money. One in every two adults is borrowing money. But the real question is, what are people borrowing money for? So what are they borrowing money for? And the answer is really worrying. The answer is worrying. More than half of all borrowers, of all borrowers, 51.3%, say they borrow money to buy food. 51.3% say they borrow money to buy food. Another 21.1% borrow to pay for education, and while 16.4% borrow to cover transport costs. Now, think about, I want you to really focus on those. Now, people are not borrowing to start business. Huh? They are not borrowing to buy equipment, invest, or create better future. They are borrowing so that they can put food on the table. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Big Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
We thank God.
Yes.
How are you doing?
We thank God too.
Amen. 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 I think it's always good to agree. And when you say amen, they say you are in agreement.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for going far to present those kind of critical information to us. And see how we can at least maybe what we borrow, we utilize it so productively, meaningfully. And I think we just need a formula, a model that can help us to really debate about that. It's a good thing that is also proposed.
Yeah.
By Honorable Francina Kaungu, Ms. Kaungu, ne?
Yeah.
That maybe there might be some kind of model to really help us to utilize the limited resources.
Yeah.
Because we agree that those are limited resources as in relation to this unlimited need and wants. So borrowing so to say, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But like you said, what do we borrow for?
Mm.
And you see, they're very much strict kind of conditions that are attached, especially when you look at the commercial institutions, for example.
Yeah.
So you discover that it's very, very, very difficult for you to borrow for something that you can say, yes, this is the capital that I need.
Yeah.
And I need to invest in these things, maybe in maybe a gardening.
And the challenge, Uncle Bona, the challenge, Uncle Bona, but the majority of people don't meet the requirement of borrowing, even if they want to borrow, they don't even meet the requirement of borrowing. And we have a number of people, as is shown by the survey, who actually receive money, who actually paid by cash. So they don't have a credit record for the bank to loan them, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Those are the strict kind of condition that are attached.
Yeah.
So you cannot borrow something that you want to invest.
Yeah.
You understand? Because they won't give you their book loans, will not allow you. You understand?
Mm.
So now what we are saying is that we just definitely have to borrow for our survival.
Yeah, from our friends and from families.
From our family, and don't even go into our family, because if they could go into their family, really family, they can create up a fund, a family fund then,
yeah,
that will sustain them, that they are going to use that money to generate, to get into income generating activity, so that they can sustain their financial status.
Yeah.
So what we are saying is that it is the condition that we are given by the commercial bank. That's why we have to borrow for the food.
Mm-hmm.
I have to borrow for my children to go to school. I have to borrow for me to sustain something that I can. Because even if you say now you rely on the income, even if you do the budget, weekly budget or family budget, monthly budget, you know, many people will make it.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So
the problem has been that the cost of living has going up every year, even every month, you know.
Yes.
But your salary, for some,
yes,
people for 10 years, 15 years, their salary never changed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and what we are now saying is that there is a different model that I see when you listen to South Africa and most of the world, and ourselves, actually, because we are also ascribed to most of these common models and doing the way of doing things.
Yeah.
So in terms of the law, we are not really much in contradiction with each other. So when it comes to the, for example, the millions that I'm, billions of dollars that I'm seeing, the article written into to the newspaper, the newspaper that's produced by Eagle FM. So, but then the money that we have here, just look at the pension fund and many, many other areas where you can really say, yes, this the money that we can mobilize,
yeah,
within our domestic economy here. And also really assist, because that money is supposed to go into a lot of social development and economic activity.
Mm.
But for us, just like the Honorable Cornelia Chilunga, the president's office, he's also encouraging us, we are not coming forward to do these things ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not doing it. So we should get money from those funds and now say, yes, am I going to mobilize the young ones in the villages working with those things, the traditional authority and the all those people, institutions that are there, the structures are there.
Yeah.
So now, of course, borrowing is not a problem. But now, when we borrow, like I said, if you can go to First National Bank, or I'm just making that as an example, any other bank, through Development Bank of Namibia and Mankin, I inquire and I look at this thing and I observe. Sometimes I go there myself. I take some people there.
Yeah.
So why is it that we have got more money in the, within the domestic market and then we cannot utilize it? So that we can then find, say, yes, people are borrowing for, you know, but why is it not, why are they not borrowing for capital projects?
Yeah.
For example, and then you say, okay, even 500,000. And the most of us, and I know that the most of the other people are getting some other categories, especially the white. Do you think the white or a white child or an entrepreneur coming from university will struggle to get money from the from this bank?
It's coming of from course, the family that have collaterals.
So that I can have the ideas, the viable ideas,
yeah.
The promotable ideas, the ideas that people have when they register their business with BIPA there. There are so many people who have registered, and some of them have got really very viable ideas. They can become entrepreneurs. They need to be assisted, not only by with money, also to facilitate
yeah.
the access of to that money, looking at the business proposal that is viable, and they have a lot of them. They have got access, these asset managers. Some of them, these asset managers are the ones who are getting money from this GIPF, and they, at the end of the day, you hear that this money is going to get lost because of the risk. So why is our people not getting those things? It's because they need to be facilitated, to be helped, in terms of mentorship, because you cannot just mentor somebody who has, whom you are giving the loan, for example. Mentor those ones who are coming from the institution of higher learning, those who have presented the ideas with the BIPA and everybody. So this is, these are the people that you can go and switch them out there and organize them and get them have access.
Yeah.
Because they are sitting in their houses, they are from these villages. And those counselors and all these village heads, they know there are people who have come from the university institution, whether it's artisans and all these things. So let's organize ourselves and go and utilize the money that is there available.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thanks for coming through.
Good.
All right. Yes, as we said, more than half of all borrowers, according to the survey, 51.3%, say they borrow money to buy food. And we have others that, other percentage, you know, 22.1% borrow to pay for education. And, you know, a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm all right, my brother.
All what right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Mike. Talking about our salary doesn't even in a month.
Yeah, you know. You before the end of the month, you know, the money is gone.
Even a month is far. That's talking about it, like
after actually not before even the end of the month. Before even the money comes in.
Yeah, before the money even reaches you already.
Yeah.
It's gone already.
It's gone already before it comes in.
Yeah. The phone is buzzing like nobody. This one is going the other side, they are already. And then what I'll say last time, I could guys. If you are having a bank which is still in the low form of apartheid, we are not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. Because if you not tell me, I've been paying some insurance for more than 5 years, but you are not even qualified to get a loan.
Yeah.
That if you want to do business, they cannot refund you. But you're still going to pay, my friend. Some of like even the toilet like you for covering, you know what is a funeral cover. They're supposed to come on board to assist people. Because now we are in the era where you are talking about high unemployment.
Yeah.
But some of we take our risk and we invest money.
I mean, I think
you don't want to break that promise where you are signed up for 25 years or 15 years.
Yeah.
But the insurance cannot even fund you if you want to do something. It's a problem. And then when you are talking to the government, who really doesn't have any bank, they have a development bank is funding people who are already rich.
Mm.
What is it? What is the name of it? Why the hell to take a development bank? Instead of maybe to come up with another name, but they already are sitting people who are rich already.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you cannot tell me you have a development, but the development is telling you they're only going to fund you if I have a turnaround for 10 million. Very disappointing, my friend. In the country but, like us.
But how do we take up? Sometimes I, when some of these, like this survey now from National Statistics Agency, when it comes out, when it tells you about 51.4%, I mean 54.1% of a population, of adult population, is earning less than 2,000. You know, add to that the number of people that are unemployed. So you have a massive of people, a large share of people of your population that are actually literally in poverty.
Exactly.
You know?
And when the world is saying Namibia is second in inequality.
Yeah.
Some of our leaders, they want to deny it. This report is not exactly. But my friend, the reality is to tell you.
This is our own survey. This is our own survey. It's not someone actually from outside who actually, you know, who is actually telling us this. It's our own survey.
I'm telling you, and our politicians, they don't do nothing.
Yeah.
They heard it, and they keep quiet.
Yeah.
And the next time when they're talking about it, it's the time of election. You know, we need to do this. We are going to do this for you. Look, calendly. You remember the guy who came up with a proposal for building house for less than 50?
Yeah.
I think some people hijack it, that plan. Because there are some people who are going on around to come out 200, and a taxi driver and what they are qualified. 200 there. And I look at it. 200, what is the taxi going to eat when you live in that house? Huh? You are talking about 200,000. Does it look like a small money in you? But in the reality, this taxi driver, you have to support the family. He's having kids who are going to school. He's buying bread every day, paying electricity, paying water bill. He's fixing his car.
Yeah.
Hey, what is going to live in that house to eat? What is going to eat in that house? The problem here is that we have people, why I think they are so greedy.
Yeah.
And this greedy is starting from the government itself. Because the moment you don't have any program, like Uncle Bane was saying now, the people are having ideas, especially the people are getting graduated. Do you think somebody can just stay home? Will you spend your whole 4 years studying? And now you are in the street for more than 15 years or 10 years. Come on, guys. And there were people who are taking up another course. After he completes that one, he goes to the next one, maybe, hoping that this one is going to what? To get a job. And they end up with nothing again. Still going to the street again to here. Come on, man.
But you know, what is the worrying thing, man? The worrying thing is that we don't... Even up to now, we don't have a system of equal distribution of our resources. You understand? So like when you're talking about inequalities that you are talking about, that means we don't have a system of equal distribution of wealth in this country. So, and if we don't, even if we're talking about green hydrogen, you know, oil and gas, you know, all this, all other other sector or other emerging sectors that are coming through. How do we know, how do we can guarantee that these resources or we will benefit from this equally? Because we don't have systems that help us to distribute this wealth equally among the Namibians. Yeah?
Not at all. Mike, if you look the oil and gas and whatever, green hydrogen, these are people who are investing their money, who come to market. There's no company who want to work. To just come for NJ to create a job for Namibian without taking much of their income. I mean, generating income for their way the company, where they come from, mother country. The thing is that when you look, the way our resources are being distributed, look, how can we have Spain who are benefiting out of our sea? And you have a Namibian who never even tasted of angelfish. I'm telling you, what do they know? Then they look. There are people who are never know what is the angelfish look like. But it is a fish which mostly come from our sea.
We don't even see hake anymore in our shops.
Yeah? No, you cannot, my friend. Those are rich people from Spain. My friend, the thing is that when you look at our population, then you look at our resources which we have, you might wonder. Even the people who are talking about the pension money. You look at the pension man, you have a grandma, you want to tell me that the grandma cannot employ somebody to look after her. Yeah, because now the government come up with a budget where you say no. As a domestic person, you have to get what 1,000? I think it's 1,000. Then you know how you look at it. What is the government going to live with?
Yeah.
After you pay that domestic worker. The problem with you have is our own doing.
Yeah.
The poverty which we are going through is because our government cannot think out of the box. My friends, that's why some of us, we are opting to go, man. Guys, I'm not advertising to come in the car. I'm going to get a visa. The whole time I'm trying to get a number.
The advertisement?
You are. The advertising with you guys, Girofem. About visa, they can process your visa, what and the approach, or something like that. Just, some of us, we are opting to go, man.
Just call our office, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Seriously, because, some of us, we are not doing it for our own good anymore. We just want to do it for our son and daughters. Yeah. Because some of us, we don't want our kids to go through what we are going through now. You've been trained as an artisan for more than 20 years, my friend. You come up with a company, but now, how much of us we are putting that? The person who's getting every day is the one who's getting that tender every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are telling us that is a fair. You can make no to remove power charity, so that we will
come
and you know, not a government that you can work. So, you can't make a flag, that's how we get a job. Man, you government that you are just tendering, but nothing. You put your money there. Tell you, you are 200 than tendering, Musha. If I tender.
Yeah.
How much is the government collecting? 300 non-returnable. Hey, telling you that's going to be given now for 300 per person, per company. I mean, yeah, man, poverty, Ayo, tangi nole tu. Nole tu tule gazi lela, lela mo jele la. Yo, then, some of us really we don't want any more to, nothing to hear about the government. Seriously.
Mo dere ha mo mo ano.
Ah, me bro ma dere ha. Pe me usu ta. O ta pe o atano mun nene de pe me o we are just city. Eh? No, strategy ya na butwa watu we turn around the strategy, turn around strategy.
Yeah.
Un mo dere le yo. Ai. No, Mike. But something need to be done, man.
Yeah.
And this is always I'm saying, come on, guys. We fail about the SME. Can we just come up with something else?
All right.
And again, now by increasing in Maluwa, Kulupi. Now, there are a lot of states who need to get the what do you call this? I know. And then that's not the end if the vessel is not working yet, what's on?
So that's exactly what the survey is saying, is that this grant, they just help us to survive, not actually get you out of poverty. You know, it's not lifting you. It's not lifting you out of poverty.
It has become, and imagine
that it has become a main income for most of the people.
Most of them, I'm telling you.
Yeah? Huh? The grant has become the main income for most people in Namibia.
I like a good job. And that is what we don't talk about much. It's a poverty.
All right, thanks for coming through, All right. Our time is about 24 minutes past the hour of 9. Yes, we unpacking a survey and a financial inclusion survey that was actually released by NSA last week. So yeah, we're talking about people are not borrowing to start business. They are not borrowing to buy equipment or invest or create better futures. They are borrowing so they can put food on the table, you know. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
How are you?
Can I hear, speak up again?
Yes, you see.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah, we listen, and then you said the statistic there, which is telling us what is really on the ground.
Yeah.
It is now out.
Yes.
Yeah, if the leaders listen, and then because this is statistic agency, I think they are in the office of the president.
This is NSA, the Namibia Statistic Agency.
Where is their office?
Well, are you in Windhoek?
Yes.
I'm in Ondangwa. So you guys, you better know.
I'm not in Windhoek, but I'm here at Valfesbe.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm.
I think they were somewhere in, where was that? You know where that building in, let me not tell something that I don't know. Yeah.
Well, once I see them, maybe they are in the office of the president. Yeah, mm-hmm. if it's like that, if it's still there, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm not too sure where they are. Their office is.
Yeah. The problem we have,
even
if things are just coming out like that, we are just ignoring.
Yeah.
We are ignoring. The ignorance of the people, it is result in people now, they are just living in what? Extreme poverty.
Yeah.
These people. People they are borrowing money just to buy food. The basic necessity
Yeah.
The basic necessity, there are four.
Mm-hmm.
The basic necessity are four.
Yeah.
But they are just buying food. The other things, they will not afford.
Yeah.
It means that people are living in extreme. Because if people they are living in poverty line, they can afford all the total basic, the four basic necessities. Left is nothing.
Yeah. So yeah. I asked a question earlier on when you're looking at this, if you take this survey really and look at it and kind of like, what have we been doing? Seriously, when you look at that, because we haven't got better, we get worse. So what have we been doing? And every Namibian should be able to come. You should be able to go to every whoever your leaders, whether it's a business leader, whether it's a political leader, whether it's, and ask, why are we in this situation? What have we been doing? What have we been achieving? Something needs to change. It's a picture. The picture really doesn't look good at all.
Really, if it is saying that this very high percentage of the adults, they are just earning less than
2,000.
Less than 2,000. It means maybe it's only the old age people who's been counted. The others, they are not there. Because if you are not finding that that age of getting that 1,600, you are not qualified. They're there. Those people, they are still living in extreme. Because they could not even find a job. They cannot get that. Where are they? It means that Namibia, something must be very urgent, should be done.
Yeah,
something must be done. If it's not like that, it will be wonderful. The outcome it will be very, very worse. Because we are just keeping leaders on the power like that for a long time. They are there, and then they're ignoring things which are serious things, but still ignoring. And then you bring them back, they're doing the same thing. What is the purpose of them to come there? What is their purpose? This is on the parliament there. What is the purpose of these people? If they are not growing.
But it is us who put them there. It is us who put them there.
Yeah. Sometimes they play tricks in election.
Yeah.
They play tricks there. What about that? If they play tricks. And then we find that those people were out.
Can you hold on for a second, you know?
Yeah.
Imbaya rire omba nai epetla weda ko ombuni kire ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu. Wari rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba. Una oviu media peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. To puika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yopia nja oshimariva. O peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva. O peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva. O peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Miede mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororela ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashe esho imba ye kute oshimariva shishuhina omarifiro. Imba o maorongane no owe kuha kainina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Alright, so can go on. Yeah. Are you still there?
Yeah, because everything, everywhere you look, everywhere you listen, you wonder if you every sector of the government, where private what sectors, they are not even reflecting the good picture for the nation.
Yeah.
If you see agriculture, you see how many food, how many tons we importing. How much money we spending on that food which are importing in the country. Minor, they are going out. How much we finished products importing in the country, how much it costs. Everything, we are very totally having hire the first thing, everything.
Yeah.
That is what is causing the poverty in the country. A lot of billions just go buying very simple things, which we can even do in our own country.
Mm.
So using our own people, but we still rely on foreigners or what investment is in turn or like that. We don't want to support our people. Therefore, if they said Namibian government, they don't want to support what even businesses.
Yeah.
They don't want. Only fly away to look for investors. And therefore, I said, those people are earning, they said over 70% of working Namibians, they are earning less than 3,000. But we are always bringing investors in the country. They are paying us less than that. We cannot afford. Why? Why?
Yeah.
If we said the country is full of resources, full of natural resources, but we see high people in very, very, very huge number in for the nation, they are living in poverty. What's that?
Yeah, that's a question we should be asking every time, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But when it comes to election, me, I do not even trust election, because election is just people are playing something which you could not understand. The way you want, if you want this, go to this side, they turn it to the way you want, you don't want. They know what they do. We know that what they are doing there.
Yeah.
It's not fair. That election of Namibia is not fair at all. It's not fair.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through, ne?
Okay.
Mm.
Bye.
Yeah, the borrowing, we are borrowing to eat, and that creates another problem. Eh? It's create another problems because the food is gone in a few days, but the debt remains. The debt remains. When the next month arrives, the family still has to buy food, but now they also have to repay the last month loan. You understand? So, and that's how many people become trapped in a cycle of debt. All right. So please do come through our telephone number 08333-66091, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you, man?
Good man.
Hmm.
Namibia.
Yeah, the land that of the brave.
That one is a tough one because it has nothing to do with the government that way.
Yeah.
No, people, whatever they
But you have to look at in a bigger context. I think you know there's an article, there's something that I want to go into do it in the next things that about our slow growth, our economy is growing very slow, and the population is growing, the rate of population growth is higher more than the economy grow.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And
I do.
Yeah,
but in terms of the economy and the demand of the dairy. Demand of the people, it's a different thing, because whatever the service we want, what is the really commodities that are making money around the world?
Yeah,
it's not needed in Namibia, or it doesn't be diverted to the Namibians.
Yeah.
So the economy can go slow because of that. So it cannot say, you cannot tell us that there are no people that are buying phone in Namibia because they cannot afford it.
Yeah.
So those economic growth is because of the what, especially we don't have engineers that are hired by the those companies that are coming in the country. So at the end of the day, the GDP cannot grow because of that.
Mm.
So, but come back into the topic is that if you comparing other countries like Zambia, where also booming market is, most of these people, house daily needed, they are not coming from pocket.
Hmm.
Yeah, they are coming from the villages where you can get it cheaper. But in Namibia, we are not like that.
Yeah.
We, that is a very, very different thing. If you look at Zambia, if you look at Angola, you buy a bag full of cassava in the village.
Hmm.
You are supporting that person in the village who can, depending on himself, not depending on anybody. Yeah, but here in Namibia, you go to the village, you cannot get a chicken for $50 or $30.
Yeah.
You get it for 150.
So you actually have to go to ShopRite, you know?
Yeah, you have to go to ShopRite, which is, they are saying is cheaper, but when you buy that one, Bri Pack or what, you cannot eat it without those ingredients, the onions and what. It will smell different.
You're raising a very critical point in terms of, you know what, 20 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, you know, the village was you could actually survive better in the village than actually in town.
Yes.
You understand? So because you have produces that actually from your own labor, from your own farm. It doesn't matter whether it's a small field or whatever.
Yeah.
But that has almost gone completely.
Yeah. Yeah, that is where the problem. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The regulators in Namibia, I look at them, are engaging with something which they are defending. That, yeah, people are cowards. They don't want them to do A, B, C, and D. But nowadays, you have no land in the village that you can get it for free.
Yeah.
You need to be well connected for you to be a part of that. And this is what is making people to come and increasing numbers of little earnings.
Mm.
Because those people who are coming, some of them, let me say maybe 60 of them, they are just on this cleaning and the security guard, which you look at in most of the women and our security guard. So how do you expect now when you are doing a survey or research? Will you exclude those ones? You have to include them so that you can tell the public.
Yeah.
This is what is going on in the market. So those are the problems, as I said, even if you go to the government, because the government cannot increase anything for now. They don't have money. That is another issue which is we are facing.
Yeah.
They cannot say a cleaner now is getting $80,000 to $10,000. No. They are still running around for $6,000. And when you are deducting those policies that is attaching there, she's already left with 2.8 or 2.3.
Mm.
And that is the money that you were supposed to pay to as I was talking to David, he was also coming up with the same topic, that you have to be presentable at work. You understand?
Yeah.
You have to buy, you cannot walk a long distance, you will be sweating and dead and smelling. So you are forced to go to the head and tax again. Tax in the costing about 1.8 that you don't have.
Yeah.
So those are one of the biggest challenges that you are facing also. So the money is not ours. The money is not mending for what? Not even as one that I was talking to him, he said, hand and mouth. There is no more hand and mouth in Namibia.
Yeah, no.
The money is not even enough. You cannot get money from hand to mouth. No, there is no such a thing. So the money, when you are coming, somebody is already calling you. Mm. Hey, don't forget me. It's the end of the month.
Mm.
You only give me my $50 for the what? So those are the problems. That the article is good. Yes, it's reviving, but we have nothing that we can do. For this, unless we come up with something better, as I said, if some of the dairy based food like onions and potatoes, those who are coming from green scheme, can be cheaper than the one that is on the shop, it can help a lot.
My question at the beginning, I was asking, you know, what have we achieved then? Really, when we're talking about now food security, we're talking about employment, we're talking about, and we have come up with so many strategies, so many development plan, and all those kind of things, but we don't seem to have improved at all. And if it's more like we have actually gone backwards. Is it something? It also has to do with the global economy, you know, or it's really something that has to do, as Mandumia said, that it's something that has to do with us in how we manage our economy and where we focus our investment and all that.
Yeah, but as I explained to you at the beginning that the economy has nothing to do with this. Our masters, where they are getting commodities, they are also paying a lot, because remember the oil that is playing around the logistics, it attaching to Namibia and South Africa. It's the one country to say that. But the farm is very far now, because we are talking about 1.2, 1.3 kilos from Windhoek to Cape Town. To getting those things now. So that is where now it end up expensive because of that. If you could have, for example, Noel Duvel or Nagatratem that is coming in now, it could be cheaper. But those products, when they're reaching, you cannot say we are feeding ourselves. We are lying to people. Don't lie to people. That's why I'm saying AMTA is not doing anything. So those are now the problems, in that they have nothing. They have to increase the price, because they are not the one that is controlling the oil. So the logistics, that is, we having to moving things one place to another. So those are the problems that you cannot say Namibia didn't do much. What you are supposed to do? Those shops that are feeding Namibians, they are not Namibian shops. They are not getting in Namibian food to processing it.
Yeah.
So that is even the Bokomo Namibi meals and Namibi poultry, most of their feed. Let me tell you something, Mike. A chicken to become a meat, it need to be feed.
Yeah.
And those feeding products are not coming from Namibia.
I understand your point very well, but don't we become more strategic? More strategic in terms of, and more visionary in terms of, this is to get where we want to get, this is what we need to do, you know. And sometimes we become so just, you know, more deliberate. We're going to come after this quickly, you know, just stay.
Okay.
This winter, Washamba Mall is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washamba Mall, and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washamba Mall in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall, and stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washamba Mall. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
All right, welcome back. So my question is, how do we become strategic to address issues like you're highlighting?
Yeah, that is where now the problem, as I said. If you want to look at whether the Namibians are feeding themselves, if you're running this cotton facing gate, maybe you go to Kurenku, the one for Krotondin Rundu, you go to Oshivelo, and you go to Kamanya, to look at how many bags of meal, malt, this Mahango thing.
Yeah.
How many bags are coming to the south, where there is a lot of people? You will not find even a 5 tonners of that mountain to come here.
Yeah.
So those are one thing that you can know, these people are not feeding themselves.
Yeah.
So the other regulators now that are coming, AMTA, we wanted, or agronomic, we wanted to do something better. To say, let us see if Namibians are producing. You understand?
Mm.
But they are producing a lower now, a fresh product which is not needed by the market.
Yeah.
The market needs a processed one. You understand? That is a finishing product. As I'm telling you that, So those are now the issue that we have. Regulators have nothing to do because in Gengoban, if they're making some kind of mistake there, it's rather that we withdraw. Now maybe you take a problem when it will attack the Namibians. Play up with the economy. So that is one thing. If you are comparing yourself with Maheke regime, so those are the things that we have to be aware on that let us kamakera kakasa, let us do like that, let us regulate it. I'm telling you, man, it's not something simple to say no. I give you an example on Namberewa. I maloi hapo haiye ke manga mo service ayo yo kironga.
Yeah.
That is one thing, you know, kutarela. So the other issue now, okana kaina tang.
Mm.
It's a higher score in non-zero, can transport in non-zero, so kabago ke non-zero. So, imagosho tarongo, it have nothing to do with saving.
Yeah.
So those are the problems. Obroinga is a pongenga anotave, if they wanting to changing up that, anotave une neko cash flow na, they, I hear, what is this, meme?
Kahungu. Yeah.
Yeah, you see, it's not that something is wrong here. Sometimes we have to look at how our people survive. Yeah, if it is strategizing, as she advising that, let's see whether we can making these people access to money in after 15 days.
Mm.
You understand? You're getting 50 half one end of the month, and then on the 18th, you're getting another one. So I think maybe it can help, but this is not a matter of money. That is now another issue. It's not a matter of saying I don't have, or maybe because the money, the supply, the money that is left in after what for team or why or it you want any kironga.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so those are now the things. Okay, that's to go to Rario Nunenjo. Remember, there is a Kasabri, okay, celebration of earning
Hakea
Pokati Bay.
Yeah.
So those people now, they're starting now to temptating you with the tapanas, with the what. So, Afeka Sabanina Dano Machine. Shamanoka 200, Akirongo, Kukin Yagashin. So, it has nothing to do with money. Kuchake economy, the Africa. We are not depending on so because everything that we are doing now, like a cell phone and what all the data is too much also in a daily basis. If you look at the those people who have access to smartphones, they are spending more money now. They are spending up to 500 for the internet. And you look at those memes now, that as I give you an example, that in their houses now they have a router. And the 4, 3, 5 children, that is the one thing, also a smartphone to do their school activity on the phones.
Yeah.
It's also increasing the expenses of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are problems that we are talking about. That's driving people to go to the cash loan or to whatever the article is talking about. So it has nothing to do with the government. It has nothing to do with the economy. Economy for today to for us to Unless, I was even suggesting, with, when I was discussing with one of those Maurice Millionaire guys, that why we have to follow this Western? Why can't we tell our people, don't buy phone anymore?
Yeah.
Let us put in that, this landline back, and then we started to communicate with each other.
Mm.
Because it's killing us, serious, with the mic.
It's
killing us.
Yeah,
if
it does,
if we come to facts, if we coming back to old fashion, I sending Mike a fax rather than to sending this email that I know is costing me millions of dollars. It's better.
Mm-hmm.
Telecom must also coming up that I bring back in my landline. You will see some people that we are dropping this thing. So those are now, Mike, let me not finish the people's time, but those are the things that we need to think back. Where are we going to survive on this?
All right, man. Thanks for coming through,
You're welcome.
All right, 0808-66091, 0808-66091. Yeah. Earlier on, I think it was Mandume was talking about the advertisement that we do. So your opportunity has arrived. We provide a trusted visa facilitation. That's what he's talking about. And a consultancy service for higher payment jobs, studying abroad at international recognized colleges and universities, and scholarship and international qualification. Then you call this number. This is the number you can call: 0801-376-0041, 0801-376-0041, or WhatsApp at 0801-806-2044, 0801-806-2044, and just do that today. So that actually, open doors to global opportunities. Yeah, so that's the number that you can actually call, and or WhatsApp number. All right. Okay. So yeah. So we continue. There are a couple of aspects still on the survey that we're gonna look at. But now, just to say on this, when I was just talking about now, I was talking about when the next, when the next month arrives, we're talking about issue of the next month arrives, the family still has to buy food. But now they also have to repay the last month loans. So, and that's how many people become trapped in a cycle of debt. So every month start with less money than the month before. So, and another important question is this, who benefit from this situation actually? Who benefit from this situation? Many low incomes earners cannot qualify qualify for affordable bank loans because their incomes are too low and they do not meet lending requirements. So let's go to the caller quickly. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
So my please take a minute to say something that I hope I forgot.
Yeah, just quickly.
You have a lot of time from 8 to 11.
There are still other things. You may come for other things. There are still other things that I wanted to say. Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
Yes, we were talking about the resource mobilization for our economic and social problems, to address this problem. But now, if you have land, for example, let's give an example in the rural area, which I was making reference to as well.
Yeah.
And we can also turn our communal land, some of them, also can be turned into commercial for food production.
Now, are you saying that the government then should buy the the communal land and turn it to commercial, or who should make
it? No, you are the one. Why do you have the government? Because your land.
No. I just wondered. You were not clear. Who should? I was just asking.
So the government is just giving you assistance to subsidize you. You turn your land. What is stopping you if you can be able to get money and mobilize? And some of those things, actually, I understand you even mentioned of Koratara, but I was pondering that one with the ideas that can be translated into monetary value. So rather than even when you now secure your property there, whatever, that one is fine. But people are now relying on the ideas because of the emerging market. If, for example, you say now you want to help the government, or you can even team up, we use this private-public partnership.
Yeah.
So for social development, for economic development, to turn your land, the one that you have, I know the family has that one, not commit you within the family members and whatever, and team up together, and you do those things. So those are areas. Why can't you tell me what prevents you to turn your communal land into commercial?
Yeah.
Then it becomes like the example that was given for Babis or whatever. Or any other area can do that. Viable. Thank you.
Thank you. So so many low. I was asking who benefit from this actually. The area what I was talking earlier on. Many low-income earners cannot qualify for affordable bank loans because their incomes are too low and they do not meet lending requirements. So as a result, they often tend to micro-lenders, informal lenders, and or borrow from family and friends, and because they are the only option available. Now, the problem is that some form of borrowing come with higher interest rates and short payment periods make it even harder, for people actually recover financially. So, and this is about more than personal choice, because when large number of people are borrowing simply to buy food, it points to a deeper problem. It tells us that many jobs do not pay enough to cover the cost of living. So basically, it tells us that people are not paid enough to cover the cost of living. It tells us that too many households have no saving to fall back on. And it tells us that for many Namibians, debt is no longer a tool for building a better future. So it has become a way to survive today. It's more like, we are more like our country now. As individuals, we're more like our country. So it's a way to survive just for today. Just for today. And that should concern all of us. I think that should concern all of us, because an economy is not healthy when nearly half of adults rely on borrowing. It's not healthy. And the biggest reason for that borrowing is simply to eat. And this is what the survey tells us. So that's not healthy. Now the government will point to one piece of good news in this report. One piece of good news in this report. So it says financial inclusion has improved. Today 86% of Namibian adults use some form of financial services, up from 78% in 2017. So that also means that the number of adults who are financially excluded has fallen from 22% to 14%. So more people now have bank accounts, have more mobile wallets, have access to other financial services. So now, when you look at that, it sounds really good progress, which is it is a good progress. More people are connected to the financial system than ever before. But here's the big question. Okay? This is unpacking the day. So here's the big question. So what does having a bank account really mean? Okay? If you earn $2,000 or less a month, because that's the issue here. Having a bank, it does not automatically mean you have money in it. It doesn't mean you have money in it. It does not mean you can save. It does not mean you are financially secure. Eh? It simply means you have access to financial service. Okay. Think of it this way. Okay? I want you to think of it this way. A bank account is like having a key to a house. But if the house is empty, the key alone does not improve your life. Do you understand? It doesn't. So the survey is also point to another concern. So it point to another concern. So, but you know, do you understand what I mean? So access to financial service, it doesn't necessarily mean you are financially secure. All right? It doesn't. So, as I said, the survey also points to another concern. While more people have access to financial service, financial capability has actually fallen from 68.5% in 2017 to 63% in 2025. So, in other words, fewer people feel able to manage their money, plan ahead, and make informed financial decisions. That fewer people than 2017 now feel able to manage their money, plan ahead, and make informed financial decisions than before. Fewer. So we have more people with bank account, but fewer people with the financial strength to make those accounts work for them. So, and that's is the real challenge here. If we only count how many accounts have, and most of the cases that the case, most of the time this is the case. So we account how many account have we have been open. So the country appeared then to be making a great progress. Okay? If we only account how many account, how many accounts that we have actually opened. But if we ask whether people are saving more, are people are saving more? Are people investing more? Are people becoming more financially secure? Maybe that's a question. That's what Uncle Bona was talking about, investing. So, and the picture is far less encouraging. Eh? According to this, the picture is far less encouraging. So this matter, because it matters, because financial inclusion should not be end, should not be, you know, an end goal. You understand? It shouldn't be the end goal. The real goal, it should be financial well-being. So the whole, when you look at here, it's more like the financial inclusion should be the end goal. No. The real goal is financial well-being. People should not only have access to the bank account, but they should have enough income to save, pay their bills without stress, you know, prepare for emergencies, eh? And build a better future. That should be the goal. Eh? That should be the real goal. Financial well-being, not just financial inclusion. Eh? And many Namibians already know this reality. We know this reality. Okay? The bank account is there. The banking app is on the phone. The ATM card is in the wallet. But at the end of the month, there's very little money left to manage. Yeah? So there's little money left to manage. And that tells us we have improved access to financial service, but we have not solved the bigger problem of low incomes and economic insecurity. We haven't solved that. Well, financial inclusion is important. It is important. But it cannot replace a decent job, higher wages, and an economic that gives people a real chance to build wealth. It cannot. So until those things improve, having more bank account will not, on its own, lift people out of poverty. Okay? It will not. So, now, let's now talk about the gap between rural and urban Namibia. So, the rural Namibia still being left behind. So, according to the statistics, the survey shows that 91.7% of adults living in urban areas are financially included. Okay? And in rural areas, that figure drops to 79.3%. Still not bad, I think. So, and that goes to what we are talking about. Having an account, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're financially secure or economically, it doesn't mean that you're financially secure. So, and that's the difference of more than 12%, 12% point between the rural, between the urban areas and the rural areas. So, and what does that tell us? Okay. When you look at that, what does it tell us? It tells us that where you live has a bigger impact on the opportunity you have. So depending where you live, your opportunity depending where you live. People living in town and city are more likely to have bank account and access to financial services than people living in villages and remote communities. So the survey also shows that financial exclusion is higher among young people, those with little or no education, and people living in the rural areas. So these are often the same people who need financial service the most, but they are the one that is excluded. So if you live far from bank, if you live far from a bank, have limited internet access, or don't know how to use digital banking, it becomes much harder to save money. For example, to save money, to get a loan, or build financial future. So people who are already financed, facing the biggest challenges are also the one with fewest financial opportunities. So the survey also highlights an interesting difference between men and women. All right? The women are more likely than men to have bank account. And this is largely because many government grants, such as old age pensions and child grants, are paid through the banking system. So as a result, many women have been brought into the formal financial system. Now, and that is a positive step, I think. For me, I think that's a positive. But so we should also ask why they have those accounts. So why do they have those? For many women, it is because they receive government grant, not because they have a well-paying job or a successful business or something like that. So there's a big difference between having a bank account and having a steady income. So a bank account gives you access to financial services, and a good income gives you financial freedom. So there's a difference. The two are not the same. They're not the same. So while more women are connected to a banking system, many are still actually struggling to make ends meet. It's not that they have financial freedom. It's just that they have access to financial services. So that's the difference. So, and that's why we should be careful, about calling this a complete success. You understand? So the real financial inclusion is not just about opening more bank account. It's about making sure people, whether they live in Wintu, Katima Mulilo, or Puo, or a small village in the north or south, have income, have the income, have the opportunity, have the financial knowledge to use those accounts to improve their lives. So that's the real financial inclusion. So until rural community have the same opportunity as urban area, the gap will remain. That will still remain. So, and as long as that gap exists, many Namibians will continue to be left behind. They continue to be left behind. And let's also talk about the biggest risk facing many Namibian families. Now, the survey found that only 32.6 of adults have some form of insurance. All right? 32.6. That's very low. That means about two out of every three adults have no financial protection if something unexpected happens. No financial protection at all. No insurance, no life insurance, no health insurance, no funeral cover, you know, no crop insurance. Is there something crop insurance? For farmers, is there something is like crop insurance? Farmers, really, do you have something like crop insurance? Or how would you say, how would you put it? Yeah, for your crops. Do farmers have crop insurance? Nothing, actually. Now, think about what that means, really. You know, if someone gets seriously ill, for example, the family has to find the monies themselves. They have no protection, you know, financial protection at all. If a loved one dies, as it often happens, they must pay for the funeral themselves. If a crop fails or a livestock, you know, are lost, I think they are insurance, stock or livestock insurance or crop insurance, yeah? So many farming families have no insurance to fall back on. For millions of Namibians, there's no financial safety net. Nothing, nada. So the survey also asked people what had affected them most during the 6 months before they were actually interviewed. And the biggest problem were the rising cost of living. The rising cost of living, illness in the household, and the death of a family member. That's why I said, you know, those are the things that affect people, but there are no safety net. You know, there's no financial safety net for many families. Yeah? And these are not rare events. These are things that happen most often. So there are challenges that many families face every year, you know? So now imagine facing one of those problems without saving, or insurance. So, and that's what many families found themselves in. So a medical emergency can wipe out. So you might have someone who just got sick, and that can wipe out the family's finance almost overnight. A funeral can cost more than a household end in several months. A food prices keep rising, but many people's incomes are not keeping up. For families already living from one payday to the next, even a small setback can become a financial disaster. And remember what I have already learned from this survey, okay? Many people earn less than 2,000 a month. Eh? 2,000 a month. Less than 2,000 a month. many borrow, what we have learned already from the survey is that, you know, you have many people earn less than 2,000 a month. We have many people who many borrow money just to buy food. Most run out of money before the next payday. And then now add an unexpected hospital bill or funeral expense to that situation. Just add that to that situation. It becomes almost impossible to recover. No wonder why we have so many people committing suicide. People that are so, you know, stressed, depressed. So that's why insurance is matter. It really matters. And it's not just insurance, not just another financial product. I think it's a way protecting families from being pushed deeper into poverty, you know, when life takes an unexpected turn, like in those cases. So when two out of every three adults have no such a protection, it means millions of Namibians are living one crisis away from serious financial hardship. You know, and that is not just a personal problem. It is a warning about how financially vulnerable many households have become, actually. So, what do you think? So, what do you think about the survey? What do you think of the... And the other thing is that it's also, there's also, people are actually struggling to manage their money. People are struggling, according to the survey. And let's look at one. This is one last finding from the survey, okay? Because this might be the most important of all, okay? The survey shows that people's ability to manage their money has actually gone down. Imaliwa yangkwati, kajia money. The survey shows that people's ability to manage their money has actually gone down. Financial capability fell from 68.5 in 2017 to 63% in 2025. So today more people have bank account than they did 8 years ago. More people can use mobile banking and other financial services. But fewer people feel confident managing their money, planning for the future, or making good financial decisions. Fewer people. And that should concern us, actually. Having a bank account is one thing. You know, knowing how to use it wisely is something completely different. So many people still struggle to budget, save money, understand loan agreements, compare financial products, or work out how much interest they will end up paying. So many people are still actually finding it difficult. So without that knowledge, it becomes much easier to fall into debt. It becomes much easier to fall into debt or make costly financial mistakes. And this tells us that improving access to financial service is only part of the solution. People also need the knowledge. They need the skills. You know, they need the knowledge, they need the skill to use those services in a way that improves their lives. So that means better financial education in school, maybe. Maybe we start to teach people already finance in school. In communities, in workplace. I think in workplaces as well. We take it for granted that people know how to manage money in workplaces. And may be able to do this through the media. Like, you know, we used to have something, F&B something, you know. Here, we used to have a show like that. It didn't go far enough, You know, so we need to do that. It means, you know, better financial education. So now, let me ask this question now. I'm looking at this whole thing and I'm thinking in my mind, how should we measure success? Should we celebrate because people have open bank account? Okay. Or should we ask whether people's lives have actually improved? Because we want that these services, these financial services, should actually help people, people's lives to improve. Eh? Questions that we need to ask is that our families now, because of those financial services, are the families saving more money now? Are they saving more money? Are fewer people borrowing just to buy food? Are more households prepared for emergency? Are people building assets that can improve their future? Those are the questions that really matters. And if the answer to those questions is no, then we cannot say the job is done. We cannot say the job is done. Opening more bank account is a good start. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good start, but it's not the finish line. So real financial inclusion means people are becoming financially stronger, not just financially connected. Okay? So it's not just financially connected. So at the end of the day, success is not measured by how many bank accounts exist. It is measured by whether ordinary Namibians have enough income to save, enough knowledge to make good financial decisions, okay? And enough financial security to face, you know, the future with confidence. Well, the survey suggests Namibia has made progress in expanding access to financial services, but there's still a long way to go before that access translates into real financial well-being. So, Namibia, this is the question we need to ask ourselves. This survey is a mirror, all right? It shows us the reality of our economy. Not the picture we wish to see, though. This is not the picture we want to see. But it shows us where we are strong, but also where we are failing. Okay? So the findings show that while financial inclusion has improved to 86% of adults, many Namibians still face low incomes. They still face financial pressure. So, and difficulty making ends meet. So the real issue is not just whether the number looks better on paper. So the real issue is whether people's lives are actually improving. Are family earning enough to live with dignity? Are jobs paying enough to cover basic needs? Can people handle emergency without falling into debt? Can parents send their children to school without having to borrow money? Those are the questions that matter. Because an economy is not only about statistics, graphs that we see in reports. An economy is about people. It's about people. It's about the mother who must decide between buying food and paying transport. That's a reality. It's about the worker who earns a salary but still cannot make it to the end of the month. And it's about young person who want to build a future but cannot find an opportunity. That's where we are. So financial inclusion is important. More people having access to financial service is a positive step. But access alone is not enough. A bank account does not automatically mean financial security. A mobile wallet does not automatically mean prosperity. So real progress means people having enough income, knowledge, and opportunity to improve their lives. All right? So I think the bigger question is, are we building an economy where ordinary Namibians can stand on their own feet? Are we building the economy where ordinary Namibians can stand on their feet? An economy where hard work is rewarded. An economy where medical emergency does not destroy a family. An economy where people can save, invest, and plan for tomorrow. Because the goal should not only be to include people in a financial system. The goal should be to build a society where people can participate, where people can grow, where people can prosper. Now, I want to hear from you, okay? I want to hear from you. What do you think needs to change? What do you think needs to change? What should government do differently? What role should business play, actually? So, because where is the business out of here? What should the role the business play? And what should citizens demand? What should we demand from our leader, from our institution, and from each other as people, as citizens? So let's continue this conversation because this report is more than just numbers. It's a picture of the day reality, of the daily reality of many Namibians are facing. And for years, we have been identifying the same problem: inequalities, low incomes, unemployment, and financial insecurities. So the question now is, not whether we understand the problem. So I think the question is, when do we move from talking about the problem to fixing it? That's the question. So when are we moving from talking about the problem to fixing it? So 0833-66091 is the number you can call. 0833-66091. So come through and have your say.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, Dumela Namibia, and a very warm welcome, you know, to Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM, the show where we take the big stories and break them down so that whether you are driving or sailing Kapana or sitting in your office, you walk away understanding exactly what is going on in these countries of ours. All right. Now, the Bank of Namibia, our country's central bank responsible for protecting our financial stability and monitoring the economy, has raised a serious concern about the direction of the economy. All right, and let me tell you, this is not just another economic story to ignore. When the central bank speaks, we need to listen. No, serious, when the central bank speaks, we need to listen. So it is the institution watching the health of our financial system. Okay? So when the central banks talk, listen. Okay? You gotta listen because they are watching the health of our financial system. They are the one who are tracking the risk and also warning us when something needs attention. So when they talk, you must listen. Now, the governor of the Bank of Namibia went to Oshakati last week, and he came this side, and he told the stakeholders something that should make us really, really, really pay attention. That's why I said, when the central bank speaks, what do? We do listen. All right? Now, he said our economy last year, in 2025, only grew by 1.7. So only grew by 1.7%. Meanwhile, our population number of Namibians working on this land is growing by 2% a year. Okay. And what our economy is actually capable of growing at is on a good day, okay, on a good day is about 3%. Okay, that's what our economy is capable of growing at. So on a good day, our economy is capable of growing about 3%. So, but it grew 2025. It grew by 1.7. Now, you might be sitting there now thinking, oh yeah, so what? Because that's the question as journalists we ask. So what? Numbers, numbers, numbers. All right? But stay with me. Let's unpack this together. Okay? I love numbers. I love numbers. All right. So, now I'm going to give you a scenario. Imagine this scenario, né? You bake a loaf of bread every Sunday for your family. Okay? Last year, you have 5 children at home. The loaf was just enough. Okay? Each child got a decent slice. Okay? There were only 5. And each one, you know, just got a decent slice. Okay? Enough to eat. This year, 2 more cousins have moved in. Yeah, 2 more cousins have moved in. So you have 7 mouths now to 7 mouths at the table. But you are still actually baking the same size loaf. Now, maybe even slightly smaller one. All right? So what happens? Everybody get less bread now. Okay? Everybody get less bread. Some might not get any. Okay? Some might not even get any. And that, my friend, is exactly what's happening to Namibia right now. So that's what is happening. So the economy is the loaf. Okay? The population is the mouth at the table. And right now, the loaf is growing slower than the family. Okay? So you have more mouth to feed, but the loaf is growing slower than the family. So that means every Namibian on paper is getting poorer. As I said, on paper, because there are some who are making massive money. All right? So, and that's a small number. That's a small percentage. But that means now every Namibian on paper is getting poorer. Not because you are doing something wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. Okay? Not because you are lazy. Some of you might be lazy. you know, but because there's simply less to go around per person. Okay? There's just simply less to go around per person. Now, the economists have a fancy phrase for this. They call it per capita income declining. Okay? Their per capita income is declining. So that means there is just simply less to go around per person. Forget the jargon, okay? In plain English, plain Namlish, it means the average Namibian is getting a smaller share of the national cake every year this continues. You understand? So you're getting a smaller share now of the national cake. Okay, let me ask you this question. Because that's what we do on this show, isn't it? We don't just report, we interrogate, okay? We interrogate. Now, question number one. The governor, let's see what the governor says. The governor blamed the slowdown mostly on diamonds, okay? So if you haven't, you know, you haven't read maybe the stories. He blamed the slowdown on diamond. He said the world is buying fewer of our natural diamonds because the lab growth diamonds, you know, diamond made in factories overseas, you know, in lab overseas, are cheaper and are eating our lunch. Okay? So these diamonds are eating our lunch. So, and that's true. That's true. But my question is to you, okay? My question is to you. Now, think of this now. So we knew this. So what I'm trying to get is that we know that, you know, these shiny stones that we have are finite. You know, they won't last forever. We see that from Botswana now. Or market changes sometimes. So how did we get here in 2026 still spending on a shiny stone dug out of the ground to run our economy? As I said, we know for decades that diamonds are finite resource. Yeah? They're finite resource. At one point, and we know that market changes. So, someone was sleeping on the wheel. Where we found ourselves now, oh no, the reasons why we are in this situation is because our natural diamond is not going down. It's going down. So, someone didn't think. Someone was asleep at the wheel. Which planners, which ministers, which boardroom, which boardroom failed to diversify this economy when the sun was, you know, still shining? You know, the reason why I'm asking who was actually sleeping at the wheel is that because, you know what? I think we were... And this is something that we never had coming. I think, of course, we never saw lab diamond coming. We never saw that coming. I think at some point, and I'm giving an example. With for my own village. This was a village. Now it's a town. Those of us or Nawa, you know that part of Nawa that has become Oshakati town. You know, people were paid off when they were moving. Now, when they were moved because of the town, people were compensated. Well, not the compensation wasn't fair enough, but they were compensated. Now, some may have been compensated half a million for their field. And when they got that money, they felt or they thought they have so much money. Well, they started eating out, they started buying cars, and until at the point where now they realize, okay, the money is finishing. Yeah. They started, well, the money was getting finished and they don't even have it. They haven't even built the house. They started going run and buy corrugated iron to actually have some sort of shelter, you know, from the plot that they were given. So you understand? So I think at one point we thought we have people in strategic position who thought we have unlimited resources. Eh? We have unlimited sources, or who don't understand that market can change, you know, things can change. We didn't dare to diversify quick enough. We haven't even done that. We're talking about it. Let's diversify our economy, but we haven't done it. So that's why I'm asking, you know, who was sleeping on the wheel? Someone was sleeping at the wheel. So, who? So, somehow we felt that we failed to diversify this economy, you know. And I'm saying when the sun was still shining, when we have the money, we didn't do. Now, the governor also talked about young people. So let's talk about the young people. The governor admitted, and this one hurts. Okay? This one hurts. That slow growth means we cannot create enough job for the thousand of young Namibian finishing school. Finishing UNAM, finishing NAST, finishing, you know, VTC every single year. That is coming from your governor. Okay? That slow growth means we cannot create enough jobs. So there's nothing. So some people kind of like, how would I say it? Kind of shocked why we have so high rate of unemployment. Look at the growth. Look at the economy. The economy is growing at 1.7. That's not strong enough to create enough jobs. So the slow growth means we cannot create enough jobs for the thousand of young people. So we have a whole generation of educated, hungry, capable young people, and the economy is not creating space for them. The economy is not creating a space for them. So where do they go? Well, they sit at home. Most of them are sitting at home. They hustle. There are those who hustle. Some leave the country. Well, the one mostly whites, you know. Well, they leave the country. Some fall into despair and hang themselves and take their own life. So... And this is not just an economic problem. No, serious, this is not just an economic problem. This is a social time bomb. And we need to name it as such. I think Uncle Bona mentioned something like that. So, it's a social time bomb. It's not just an economic issue, you know, a problem. It is, now we have a problem. Now we have to deal with lots and lots of things. So the governor say, the medium long term outlook is still positive. All right. He pointed at the new industries. And of course, and we all know what he means. Oil and gas discovery down at the coast, you know, green hydrogen projects, uranium, maybe critical minerals because they are popping up actually, you know, critical minerals. Yeah. Okay. So fair enough. All right. But here's my worry. Now, my worry is that are we about to make the same mistake twice? Do you understand the mistake that I'm talking about? The mistake is that we are going to swap our dependency on diamond for dependence on oil. So we're not diversifying, you know, as I said, we fail actually to diversify our economy. But what we're going to do now, what we're going to do, we're going to swap our dependency on diamond for dependence on oil. That's what we're going to do. Because if we do, 10 years from now, some other governor will be standing in Oshakat saying, yeah, oil demand has dropped. The oil demand has dropped. Our economy is in trouble. When are we going to build an economy that stand on many legs, not just on one? When are we going to build an economy that stand on many legs? Eh? Not just on one. Because we have been just standing on one leg of minerals. When are we going to do that?
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuike Moshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Gotisamwene. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika. Saithanina, Omeaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongashifa, Yokupitramo, Ikele FM Media House. Ngoe 23 Memeha, Ukakombanga Nena. Kara omkwashi pareki wimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimu. Datunda tu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Ikele FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. So now, my question was, when are we? Eh? When are we going to build an economy that stands on many legs? Not just one. And we would definitely, I think we're gonna fall in that we're gonna fall in that dependency again on oil as soon as that actually starts. Now, let's look at this realistically. What does 1.7% growth actually feel like for ordinary Namibians? So we always mention, you always hear now 1.7% growth. Now, my question now to you is really, what it actually feel like for the ordinary you? I'm going to tell you, it feels like the price of mahangu going up, but your salary is standing still. That's 1.7% growth actually feel like. Okay? The 1.7% growth, it feel like your son with a degree still driving a taxi. All right? That's a 1.7% growth feel like. So it feel like the clinic running out of medicine because government revenue is squeezed. So 1.7% growth actually feel like the pothole on your street never being fixed. Eh? The 1.7% growth actually, it feels like waiting longer for the houses, waiting longer for that house from mass housing. Eh? And that's what these numbers mean on the ground. That's exactly what these numbers mean on the ground. They are not abstract. Don't think that when you hear 1.7 growth, actually, what does it mean? That's what it means. Eh? They live in your kitchen, my friend. They live in your kitchen. So that's what it feel like. That's what it feel like. 1.7% growth. And here's something the governor that didn't, and here's something the governor didn't actually say it loud. So the governor didn't say this loud. But when we say it here, we need to say it here. When the economy grows slower, then the population inequality tends to get worse. Inequality get worse, not better. Eh? And that's where we are. And that's exactly, there's nothing mysterious from where we are and the way things are in Namibia. You just don't read. We were looking at the survey now. Many people don't even page that, including many people in the government. It comes out, they hear those statistics, they don't look at it. And they are the one who are providing the service. They are the one who's supposed to address some of those pressing issues. But they never look at it. Eh? You may even have some MPs who never even have a look at it. Eh? So, as I said, so when the economy grows slower than the population, inequality tend to get worse, not better. So because the people who already have the connected, the well-positioned, the one with money, they still find a way to grow their peace. They still find a way to grow their money. It is the ordinary men and women, the one without connection, who feels that push, that squeeze, first and hardest, actually. So this is also a story about fairness. So it's also a story about fairness. So now, I'm going to play a devil advocate for a moment, okay? Because we must always try to strike a balance here, all right? Now, some will argue, look, 1.7% is not a disaster, which is not, all right? 1.7 is not a disaster. Many countries in the world would take that. 1.7 growth, they will take that. It's not a disaster. So, of course, there are a lot of countries who will take that. So we are not in recession, so we are still growing, and that's fair. That's fair to look at that way. We are not Zimbabwe in 2008, so we are not in a crisis. So we are not in crisis. So but, and I think this is a big but, not the other one, not the behind one. So but, growing slower than your population year after year, it's like a person losing on 1 kilogram a month. Now, 1 month, no problem. 12 months, you've been in hospital. You've been in hospital. So it is the trend that should worry us. Not just the single number. It is the trend that must worry us. So that's what we should be worried about. It's the trend. And the trend is not good. Well, others will say, the Bank of Namibia is just doing its job by warning us. Of course. And that's what the central bank do. It's also fair to say that. But a warning is only useful if someone or if somebody acts on it. As I said, there are people who may not, who don't. We go through, like on this show, we go into deeper and really analyze it, and which your leader should be able to do that. So my question is to Cabinet, to Ministry of Finance, to the Ministry of Industrialization, to the private sector, what is the plan? What is the plan, Namibia? What is the plan? Not the speech, not the strategy document, the actual, not on the ground plan to move this needle. Now, we need to move this needle from 1.7 to above 3%. What is the plan? There are task force that has been appointed, you know. What is the plan? So So here's what I want you to, I want you, the listeners, to think about as we go to the break. No, no, we shouldn't go to the break. All right. Now, three things that I want us to think about. All right. We still have about 4 minutes before we come to the end of the show this morning. So, few things that I want you to think about. First, do you feel this slowdown in your own pocket? Do you feel 1.7 slowdown of the economy in your pocket? Do you feel it in your pocket? Well, you still have a few minutes. Maybe you, this is one thing that you can come through and tell us. Is the money stretching less? The money now they stretch less rather than, you know. Is the family feeling the pinch? Are you feeling the pinch? Now, I said three things. If you had, the other thing is that, let's say, for example, you have 5 minutes with the Minister of Finance, okay? Now, I want you to think, what are the priorities? What would you tell them to do first? What do they need to fix first? Okay? We were talking about a diamond sector. Do you need us to fix the diamond sector? You know, we're talking about that the lab diamonds are actually more, they are much cheaper, and then, you know, it put our natural diamond in trouble. So do you want them to fix the diamond sector? Or maybe invest in agriculture? Right? So the callers were talking about this. So, or maybe invest in agriculture. Oh, how about maybe fast track the oil? Instead of waiting and what, can we fast track the oil? Or maybe support small businesses. Maybe that's the focus. Maybe we should focus on the supporting small businesses. What is the priority? That's the question. What is the priority? So, and the deepest question of all is, are we as Namibians ready to have an honest conversation about the fact that our economy has been on an autopilot for too long? It has been on autopilot, depending on minerals and SACU revenue. So without really building the productive base that a country of 3 million people need to thrive. So, are we ready to have that conversation? Because at the end of the day, my friends, my dear listeners, an economy is not just numbers on a paper at the Bank of Namibia. An economy is the bread on your table. The job for your child is the job for your child. Okay? The dignity of your old age. That's what it is. And when the governor say we are growing slower than we are multiplying, he's not just talking to economists. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to every single Namibian. So, we need to pay attention. Let's get the caller quickly and then round it off. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. You are the last caller. You have maybe 1 minute or two.
Okay, yeah. Is that the mic?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Just a minute. When you say with your feeling, you're not feeling it. You know that even they're increasing the municipality with 4%.
You are far away. We can't hear you, Mandume.
Now can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you a little bit, yeah.
Okay. What I was saying, yeah? If you look now, we already, the municipality will expand our window. They're already proposing to increase the tariff of 4%.
The tariff of?
Of electricity and the water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we are already feeling it.
Yeah.
And when you look at the economy, my friends, just imagine if the bread is jumping from $10 to, some even as high as 20, to 19, 18, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Just imagine. But we are buying bread, this bread every day. And the last time when we are having, when we heard from Zimbabwe, we are laughing that the bread was costing like a what? 17 or something.
Mm.
And now we are in a situation where we don't even know what. What do you call it? The Zimbabwe is defending themselves. This where they cannot try to be other countries.
Yeah.
I forget the name, how they call it. Like you are bent broke to transport your stuff and so on. But when you look at Namibia, the problem I think we have is a really small issue to deal with. But the problem we have is really politicians who making things difficult for ordinary people.
Hmm.
If the transparent government, we are not supposed to be in the mess in which we are finding ourselves. Serious.
Yeah.
Because if you look, we are talking about high unemployment. You're talking even clean water. You're talking about electricity, sanitation. My friend, this is a very, very small thing to deal with. Where you have a lot of people are not employed, so that the government committed what they are doing now. You find them where they are selling campanas, driving taxis, doing job which they are not even with, but they are qualified people. Who can do his things with their own hand?
Yeah. So, let's do that. Let's do that tomorrow again, man.
All right, sir.
All right. All right, and that's bring us to the end of Unpacking the Day. And thank you very much. Thank you for those who actually took part this morning. That's why this program is there, is for you to engage. So I was promised by the Minister of Industry. Let's see if we get them, if we get him tomorrow. So I'll see if I will get him tomorrow. So there are issues that I want to talk up to discuss with him. When it's come to oil laws for foreign firms. Okay, so we're going to look at that. Hopefully we get him. So we couldn't get, he promised. So let's see if we'd be able to see, if we'd be able to get him. All right. So, yeah, for me, have a good day and continue listening to Eagle FM for the programs that are coming up. And I'm handing you over to my colleagues in Windhoek. Abigail, you are up. So thanks you, and until tomorrow, from me, Mike Oshaveli, it's a goodbye.